You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I have to handle some family matters, some personal family matters that are soon going to take me out of the show for a little bit, and I don't want to do it before getting to a handful of things. I want to replenish myself with the medicine of what is good content around here before I leave, and I want to ask you, Greg Cody, to help me with this, because we have some video of this is Mighty Mouse, right? Demetrius Johnson. And I want to tell the people who might not understand the fighting game that if the fighting game were fair and just, instead of, Jake Paul or Mike Tyson or anybody getting the money, Mighty Mouse, pound for pound, you can make the argument, is the greatest fighter we've ever seen anywhere in the world, because he's tiny and it doesn't make any sense that no one can ever hurt him. And there are more ways to hurt him than there were to hurt Floyd Mayweather. It's a bit crazy. And so, Tony, you can speak to this better than me, but this video is in no way surprising to me, because Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, would kick everybody's ass who's in front of him, no matter their size or weight. But I think this might be surprising to people, this video.
Yeah, so what it is this is actually an open weight class jiu-jitsu competition that Mighty Mouse is a part of, and Mighty Mouse has competed about a 135 bantamweight for basically his entire career. And the guy that he's fighting, as you can see on screen, is 6'3", 250 some odd pounds, so it would be basically a heavyweight versus a bantamweight in a open jiu-jitsu match. And it takes, so this video is actually about 6 to 7 minutes long, and for the first 5 minutes, it's Mighty Mouse trying to figure out exactly where to get this guy down. And the guy's ragdolling him, throwing him around. Then Mighty Mouse finally gets him on the floor, climbs on him like a, you could see here, like I don't even know what he's doing here. It's incredible to see a guy that size, and Mighty Mouse is 38, so like he's towards the tail end of his fighting career, still being able to do stuff like this is incredible.
One of the ways that Jake Paul has been so smart about reinventing how you make money in that game is that once upon a time, you could have made the argument Anderson Silva was the best pound for pound in the history of the sport. And so when Jake Paul beats him, it seems like he's beating somebody who's credible and legitimate. But he was never known for his boxing prowess. I mean, he could also strike.
By that sports standard.
But dude, he was also an incredible kickboxer.
He could be a striker, but he wasn't a boxer. And he wasn't a boxer, and he had punching power, but he didn't have a boxer's punching power, and he was close to 50. Now Mike Tyson is 57. But this is what I've always liked about them.
I love the OnlyFans on Mighty Mouse's gi, by the way.
We actually spoke to Mighty Mouse. You can go check that out on our YouTube page, and he was talking about his OnlyFans, how he trains. He kind of basically puts everything behind a paywall of how he trains, how he eats, the things that he gets ready for, and it's probably on that.
This is like a sports bar discussion if you just totally overlook the fact that they're both brown belts. It's one thing if Mighty Mouse can take down a 250-pound, 6'3" dude, and you'd probably have like arguments in sports bars or barbershops that he's just good because look at him, he's small. But if he gets up against a real big tough guy, he's done. According to that sport, they are the same level.
And it opens almost the conversation of that we always have with fighters. Hey, how long would it take you to do X to X person? And Mighty Mouse, it's like, oh, I'm 5'7", 135 pounds, and I'll beat a guy that's 6'3", 250 in about 7 minutes.
Oh, but do you guys know, do you understand here? This one has hurt me. Like, it's actually hurt because Mike got a lot of flack for being the guy who was finally out on the Cleveland Browns because, come on, we can't be that despicable. Not that despicable. What I've always loved about, never mind UFC, mixed martial arts, when I was watching it, when the way they would do it is some guy was coming to the octagon and he was carrying an actual crucifix, a giant, the stupidity of, it was so heavy, and he was gassed by the time that he got to the octagon. But I've loved sort of the dirty elements of, oh, we're going to test the Brazilian martial arts. We're going to test the Gracie family in the sewer.
Oh, that was, look, I've learned a lot. But as an impressionable teenager, the open weight early days of the Ultimate Fighting Championship,
it was
mixed martial arts in that you had all these different disciplines combining into one competition. But if you were, like, I practiced Kenpo Karate at the time, if you were pounding the table for your discipline, you actually got to see these fights play out. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu against a stand-up Kenpo Karate fighter. There was this Canadian that was just a wet blanket of Kenpo Karate skill that would get in the way of dream matchups. And you had wrestling backgrounds like Ken Shamrock go in, and you legitimately had dream matchups of different styles. And then the sport evolved to the point that you needed, in order to get anywhere in that sport, you needed to know all the martial arts mixed.
When we just saw put something on screen, if we could put that B-roll again, of like early days in the UFC where a guy is wearing shoes, running out there, and a guy with a gi who obviously knows Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, funny you talk about crucifix, the guy puts him in a crucifix, hits him with three elbows, and it was over.
Well, they will be able to find, go ahead and find for me the most primitive of whoever that guy was. I don't even think he was a good fighter, but what I'm telling you about what I've always loved about that sport and the heartbreaking parts of letting it go, because I've had to let it go, and I love the arts tested against each other. And if you go back to
you've let the sport go, huh?
Wow. You can come back on MMA Hangout anytime you want. You know there's an open invitation for you, Dan, right?
I've got my virtues. I signal them from time to time.
It's hard to let it go.
I still can't quit this sport. I have so many issues with it. UFC, biggest game in town, total monopoly over this sport. And they have fights that I'll overlook things that I can't overlook in my day-to-day life because I just find a way to put it in a silo.
Dan, when Sean O'Malley hit Chito Vera with that knee, that sounded like a baseball bat crack, and Chito didn't even he just moved his head back and put it back up. Like, that was incredible.
I am telling you, Stugatz is always making fun of me about how much I love boxing. I'm alleged fighting expert. It's like the one thing I care about in terms of the beauty of sports. Wait a minute.
You were on the Foreman beat.
Wait a minute. You're going to tell me that I can test all the fighting styles against each other for baddest man on the planet and the earliest incarnations of this sport? They had so many fewer rules about safety. It was the most savage thing. Never mind John McCain calling it cockfighting. Before that, it was the most primitive. It was dogfighting for humans.
It felt like it should have been illegal.
It should have been illegal.
They fixed the sport, thankfully, to where it's a lot safer for what it is. Introduction of more weight classes being the biggest possible thing for that sport. But Demetrius Johnson is just that good.
Badass. He's an absolute badass. And the way that you see his career, he's moved from the UFC, he's now in one championship over in Asia.
Which has affected his legacy because he's not in the main show. I mean, he was for a good amount of time.
But wait a minute. What affects his legacy is we're only going to respect you so much, the world, if you're a buck 30. Like, we're not going to actually make you baddest man in the world if you weigh 130 pounds.
I just saw Conor McGregor get a starring role. Like, the UFC will do that.
And I just saw Floyd Mayweather buy the whole Gucci store, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's the one championship versus the UFC. Like, him not getting along with Dana has hurt his name from being brought up consistently in these conversations.
I understand what you're saying about Floyd, because obviously he made a lot of money and he did it the most amazing way, undented, playing defense in the fighting game. Like, it's ridiculous. The point of to not get hit, and he made all that money doing that. But we will only respect you so much as a fighter unless you're Ngannou. The thing we respect the most is, can you knock someone out with one strike? Not are you the best grappler in the world? Can, with one strike, you fell any person? Like that's where Mighty Mouse suffers from. You've got to have some size on you to have the amount of menace that this requires to be baddest man in the world.
Yeah, the Mike Tyson type.
And funny, now you look at it, Anthony Joshua knocks out Francis Ngannou three times in a row, knocks him out of the canvas, knocks him out cold. Francis Ngannou said in the second round he had no idea he was fighting. He was just kind of standing there like, oh, wait, I'm in a fight. And we've always talked about Anthony Joshua being like a great boxer, but kind of never really takes that next step to be best of the world. And it feels like you look at Francis Ngannou, who took Tyson Fury to the judges' scorecards, and it's like, man, you look at those guys, how big they are, and it's impressive. Where you look at Mighty Mouse and you see him do something against a guy 6'3", you know, 250 pounds, you're like, oh, that's cute.
Hey, yo.
That kind of thing, said Lewis. Lewis just said that kind of thing. The segment needed an ending, and Lewis is just saying that the best ending would have been just you going that kind of thing.
I thought we were out of time. No,
we were out of time. Okay. It just
that kind of thing.
That would have been perfect.
It always fits.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
I miss crank windows. Too many unnecessary conveniences now, cruise control. Please, I've got cruise control built in. It's called my right foot. It controls how fast the car goes. No button or steering wheel lever needed. Power steering. There's another one. Why do I want to give my power to the car? The power that I once had. The car is a ton of metal. I'm a damn college graduate.
Stugatz.
Bluetooth. HD radio. Satellite. I'll take AM, please, with Wolfman Jack talking through the static. And I'll crank the windows down so everybody can hear. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Amin is back. I am grateful for his presence. Oddball every day except for Monday. Oddball is, oh, I love that commercial you did. I mean, Oddball, I can feel it getting stronger and stronger.
Yes, it's only a matter of time.
Oh, Jesus.
And then we get bigger.
I am waiting for you to be a bigger Oddball. I am. I want bigger balls around here in general. There is something, though.
Oddball is positively throbbing right now.
And you know it. Caleb,
my material.
Caleb Williams, we could have used it at the end of the last segment. We could have used a stray and you know it as Tony lost track of the clock and just started talking about mixed martial arts in a way that was too serious.
Back in my day today? Or?
Is there back in my day?
There is, actually.
What? Were you not going to tell anyone?
What?
Wait a minute.
You guys. Guys.
How long have I been doing this?
It's a Tuesday.
Seriously.
I don't understand.
Wait, we've got to do that. There was also. I got to get to Caleb Williams. There's news breaking with Caleb Williams. I've got to get to. Greg Cody is mad at Tim Kirkshian and me because Tim Kirkshian's podcast with his son just got so much promotion.
Seriously. I mean, the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody and Chris Cody invented the father and son podcast. And yet I can't get a shout out on this show. I mean, I'm sitting right here.
He's got a point. Mark Jackson has a podcast with his son now.
Seriously.
This is all the rage now. Father-son podcast.
Where are my royalty checks at?
Okay, he's mad at Tim Kirchner. We'll get to that in just a second. We've got to update our March Sadness tournament as well. But I was hugely surprised, and I don't know the discomforts of this. Juju, are you surprised in any way that Amin's father watches this show? And Amin's an adult. He's a front office person. Look at Billy yawning right there. Our parents, nobody
it's
here.
It's unrelated
no,
to this.
Our parents here do not watch what we're doing here. Amin, with a grandfathered, aged parent who I don't know why he would be watching this show or either. His son at all, and I certainly can't see him understanding what you're doing here, throwing away your career.
Wouldn't he be a father-aged father?
No, he's grandfather-aged.
Really?
He's a grandfather.
Is that right?
Greg's right.
Thank you.
But my guess is, how old is your dad? How old is your dad?
My dad's about your dad's age.
So he's almost 80.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's a dad's age, too.
Yeah, he's still a dad, yeah.
Well, you got to be, it's kind of a prereq.
Why don't you just say the age rather than just confuse me? Because grandfathers can be very young these days.
Because Amin, even though sometimes he sounds like a child, is an old person, and his father is much older.
Just reveal the age. Kurt Russell's playing 93-year-olds out here.
Sounds like a child. That sounds like a blast.
Sounds I'm just like saying, when you go to the All-Star game and get drunk and don't produce any footage, some people could say that's
that
the
now he listens to the show, Dan.
Does he watch the show only when you're on or every day?
So this is what happened. I was only
I love the old guy. Only on Tuesdays. I love Cody and his back in my day.
Thank you.
Billy, my dad, and I don't know if your dad is of this age, but my dad is of the age where he watches YouTube videos on his phone very loudly.
My dad's not 80.
Okay, that my dad is at that age, right, where everything he watches is full blast. And so I hear it, sometimes it's news, and sometimes it's soccer highlights, and sometimes it's something, a little funny skit or whatever. So I'm listening one day, and I'm like, huh, these voices sound real familiar. What's he listening to? And then I realize, oh, shit, he's listening to us.
On a day when you weren't there?
On a day when I wasn't there. But then I thought, maybe it's just one of those videos, right? So then... The other day he says, oh, they really made fun of you about that shot, huh? And I said, what are you talking about, father? He's like, because I thought maybe he just caught it off like Facebook or something like that. He's like, yeah, Dan and those guys, they were really getting into you on that. And I was like, you watch the show now? Is this a thing? Yeah. So now we have to be careful.
Yeah. CeeLo Green became a grandfather at the age of 35.
Wow.
My mommy watches this show. My mommy watches this show every
day.
Does
she?
Especially every day. Well, she watches it when I'm on it, but
yeah, my dad's the same.
Yeah.
My father would be 108. I'm just saying.
Would he watch the show?
Yeah, would he watch the show?
He is right now.
From heaven.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland was under 40.
What?
Wow.
I was nominated and I achieved the 40 Under 40 award with help from Roy Bellamy this year.
Wow, so congrats. Roy Bellamy.
There you go.
I made a big deal about it, but since we're talking about 40s.
40 under 40? No, that's pretty big. Again, your mom must be real proud.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
My dad is not, because I haven't been nominated for shit other than Suey's.
I was at church the other day, and the priest said that he baptized someone and baptized their grandparents. I immediately turned to someone sitting next to me and go, he's lying. It just seems impossible.
In the church.
I did say it in the church.
If anything,
it seems like a good place to be forgiven, right? But come on.
That's efficient.
That was a whopper,
That's
right?
The place where you're efficient?
Hold
on. Is that the best place to lie?
Oh, yeah. If you're going to murder someone, do it right before you go to confession.
Because then it's just like you turn around right here.
Absolved.
Was it Father Eddie?
No, that's a whole other.
It is allegedly. I'm not sure that Juju can... you're talking about being efficient in how it is you sin so that you can sin quickly and get it immediately absolved. So just do it in the confessional box.
Yeah.
Speaking of efficiency, we haven't gotten to any of the topics you were crunched for time on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Juju. I appreciate it. But one of them was his dad watches the show because I'm confused by it. But let's get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day because I didn't even know we had one of those.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Okay, here it is. Sorry.
Adultery.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We
are back.
That is waiting for this one.
Wait. By accident, what just happened? I think that's the record. Roy, for years, has been counting the amount of time that he pregnant pauses there. That was the record because he was looking for his papers. Because he was surprised that he has it back in my day.
I got a lot of papers here. I'm a busy man. Adultery! First, an important disclaimer. This back in my day is absolutely not an essay born of personal experience. And if it were, what was the chance I'd actually admit it on a national podcast? Okay, let's be honest about something inherently dishonest. Adultery, infidelity, cheating, whatever you want to call it, was so much easier back before technology came along and ruined everything. Or rather, so I'd imagine the clandestine Casanovas would lament. Cheating was easy once. You just had to make sure you weren't doing it around friends, neighbors, or coworkers. So if you lived in Mayberry, the two of you drove up to Mount Pilot, got a corner booth at the bar, then a room at the No-Tell Motel, and called it a night. You were blessedly incommunicado. There were no cell phones allowing any busybody snoop to record or photograph you. You were completely out of touch until you dropped a dime in a payphone. There was no CCTV closed-circuit cameras spying on every movement you made, no facial ID technology, no TMZ with hired spies around every corner, no social media splaying wide everyone's personal life. Now, every text message and voicemail exchange is retrievable. You think delete search history actually does that? Ha ha, your naivete is so cute. Back in my day, you wrote a fake name in the motel guest book. The board clerk said you're in room 9, Dr. McGillicuddy, and you went on your merry way. Now there'd be an unblinking Ring camera above the door ratting on you. It isn't just relationship cheats who have it tough these days. How the heck do criminals get away with anything? Snatch somebody's purse on a city street and see how fast the cops shout out closed-circuit images of you in the act all across social media with close-ups, 9 different angles, and slow motion. You think that old-timey ski mask works? There's technology to unmask you now. The day is coming when we will all have a computer chip in our noggin allowing the law to trace and catalog our every step. The cell phone in your pocket is doing the same thing today, bugling your whereabouts 24/7. Modern-day debauchers and lotharios have only 2 choices. You either give up your cheating ways, or you hopelessly bemoan technology and understand that today, a smartphone would be pinging your exact location in that dark corner booth as you swig your 3rd Manhattan. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Encore.
The No-Tell Motel, is that a Greg Cody original, or is
That's on T-shirts beginning today in the Greg Cody merch store.
Hey.
See, it's all interconnected. No, the No-Tell Motel is a known entity. Yeah, that's a thing.
A thing that people from your day, the adulterous people from your day would talk about. The other thing there.
Allegedly.
Because they don't tell.
It's a motor lodge. The motor lodge with the shuffleboard court out front.
Ah.
Do you guys know what was most back in my day about that entire thing? Because I don't think he caught that. I did not realize.
Bugling?
All right, this is the word bugle. Yeah. I've never heard the word bugle used besides describing jeans.
Thank you.
The bugle boy.
Greg Cody, remembering a time where there was a payphone that you put 10 cents into.
Yes, that's true.
I'm not familiar with that payphone.
Dan.
That payphone, I did not know it existed in this country, a payphone that took merely 10 cents.
I remember when you could put a dime in a payphone.
That's right. And if you were making a long-distance call, the operator would interrupt the call to tell you you had to deposit more money.
Yeah. Oh, I remember Carrot Top had a commercial called 1-800-COLLECT where you didn't even need no money. You just dialed 1-800-COLLECT and you charged the hell out of whoever you're calling.
I just realized the concept of collect calls for a certain generation.
10-10-3-2-1.
Yeah.
Must blow their
What am mind. I collecting? What are they collecting? Besides money? That's it?
Money.
1-800-COLLECT. This is how it works, Tony. You pick up the phone. You don't have any money. You call 1-800-COLLECT. They say, what number are you trying to reach? I'm trying to reach 555, whatever, right? Then they say, you say your name, and you say, hey, this is Tony, and then the person on the other end would have to accept the charges for the call.
It's like a prison call.
Yes, here was the trick.
Or you say, Bob had a baby, it's a boy.
There you go. You just say, what's your name? And you just say, and then you just hang up.
So then somebody else would be on another payphone somewhere?
No, you'd be calling someone's house.
House, okay.
Like, how'd you come pick me up for school?
Yep, there you go.
Can you guys find for me that Carrot Top commercial? Let's just play it unwatched, unedited. Just play as fast as you can the entirety of that Carrot Top commercial so we can see what Amin is talking about.
Oh, it's 1-800 call ATT.
Young Carrot Top. Yeah. Oh my God, look at the life in his face.
He hasn't aged a day.
That's not true. You guys thought he was on a bender in
this
Las
is before
Vegas.
He, whoa. Before he hit the gym.
Whoa.
In confidence.
That didn't tell him.
In confidence. Who wasn't, by the way?
What happened with Caleb Williams?
The internet is, he was at a women's tournament game and he flashed his painted nails and his phone case, and people are saying it appears like he's wearing lipstick, and you know, the internet's having a go at him. The first mention is, man, Colin Cowherd's about to F this guy up tomorrow.
Salute to Caleb. I'm proud of you. You know what I mean? I like it.
No,
you
man. Like that, yeah.
It's like a very, like a Russell Brand type of motif.
Yeah, hey. Living his life. Salute to young brother.
Russell Brand, huh?
I would just say this right now. That's look at me, Louis behavior. Like, I'm going to a women's game. What should I wear? Lipstick and pink nails, of course, and a pink phone case. Look at me.
That's Monty Williams, the original Look at Me, Louie. You think that's Monty Williams' behavior?
That's solidarity.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
You got to know I'm a big Columbo guy. Salute to that boy.
Okay, okay, I don't think that's proof. I don't think that's proof. I think that's a lie. I don't think that's
he said salute.
I don't think that is evidence. Salute to that boy. It suggests camouflage. It suggests that Juju has no idea what we're talking about, and now he's just Googling it.
Stugatz.
I'm not Googling it. My grandmama stayed in the country. I watched the Braves. I watched Columbo. I watched Matlock. I watched Andy Griffin.
Yeah.
Salute to you, sir, but you go to the penalty box. Dan, take your ass to the penalty box.
You tell him, Juju.
Call me a liar.
You tell him, Juju.
Back to you, Stu.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
In real life, I love Tim Kirchner. You know, what can I tell you?
Unbelievable.
What?
Phony you are.
Sin carne.
What a phony.
You notice I have my podcast logo positioned. So
concierge.
You are just a self-involved.
Yeah.
You,
can I have that choppy chop concierge, please?
I have trouble with that word, and I never say maestro. I say it maestro. I say it in Spanish, but it's in Spanish. I'm pronouncing it in Spanish.
Yeah, you also pronounce like the government entity that puts things in outer space after a city in the Bahamas.
That is true. Amin has left.
Nassau.
Amin has left mid segment. I don't know where he's running off to. Maybe
that looked like the walk of, you know.
He had to go to the bathroom.
I'll let you know. I'm going to chat with him. Yeah. I'll let you know.
All
what
right,
happens.
We will get back. Did he eat food that was sharp? All right, you. You guys have been
sharp.
He took the under on his own.
That's one way to put it.
Swallower.
Man, this fruit is sharp.
Did he penguin walk out of here? Was it too flavorful? The food that he had.
His hair looks small.
Dancing swords, as some would say.
Okay.
Thank you, Billy.
Why are you taking credit for dancing swords?
I
invented dancing swords.
Yeah, he invented it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and tell people what dancing swords are? And you didn't invent it. You're claiming that you invented the phrase dancing swords?
Yeah, in the context of bowel movements.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can't believe that you've invented
that.
Juju's got to go.
He might be going to take a QK. Oh.
Exactly. Another one.
On a magic trick.
What's happening here?
Okay.
That was a super cute cake.
All right. Amin, why did you have to leave? And while we're waiting for you, explain what dancing swords are, Greg Cody. You claim to have invented this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I invented dancing swords in the context of bowel movements. Mm-hmm. What happens is when your innards are gurgling to the point where you know something's about to come out like a jet stream and you got to sit down and do it on the Ring of Honor.
Mm.
That's like when you're walking up a ladder and you feel something splatter.
Yeah, thank you.
Or
exactly.
the parlay unders are what you're trying to hit.
Right, those are dancing swords.
Is that what happened to me, or did you just leave because you didn't know we were on the air?
I left because we didn't know that we were on the air.
Okay, why did Juju leave? Dancing Swords?
I don't know. He's back.
Okay, very good. Let's continue on with the show because I've
March
got...
March Sadness.
We're going to get to March Sadness in a second, but you guys have been promising me that Greeny had an awful basketball take and no one shared it with me. In fact, one of you was claiming it's the worst take in the history of basketball takes, and I thought maybe with Amin here, we could we can get some commentary that would explain stuff better than we can explain it.
Mike Greenberg... because I guess he was paying attention to the NCAA tournament because Northwestern was playing in it, had the take that if UConn, University of Connecticut, was playing in the NBA's Eastern Conference, they would make the playoffs.
Wow. Oh, my God. Get him out of here. You should be – some of this stuff should be – you got to be accountable for some of these takes, brothers. Yeah. Like, you be saying this stuff into microphones in front of millions, the whole world. You can't get away with some of this stuff.
Right. Victor Wembanyama has 15 wins. Just so you know.
Yeah, that's across all sports. I remember back when Alabama was the big thing in college football, we'd be like, Alabama could beat the Cleveland Browns. Are you kidding me?
I don't know what happened to your microphone, but the Pistons and the Wizards would trounce UConn routinely, often, almost every time.
Jordan Poole would have 75 points. Absolutely. Jordan Poole would light them up.
Right, and I don't even think that the UConn girls would put themselves in that position. Like, you shouldn't speak for these women. Like, don't say stuff like this into a microphone, Mr. Professional Journalist.
Is that done? You guys are done dragging poor Greeny?
It was just an awful take because Northwestern got dominated by UConn, so clearly this team should make the NBA playoffs.
I think the playoffs is wild. That's wild.
How many games does UConn win? Put a number on it. I mean, how many games? If UConn plays an
what
entire
the Pistons
NBA
have, like 12?
System, no, they wouldn't win 12 games.
They would win zero games. It's neither here nor there.
They'd win like two because there'd be just a night where nobody played and everybody.
Depends if they're playing the Raptors and someone has the under.
Right. Exactly. Jonte is on the court.
Jonte.
But the points better be what? 15, 17 points, right?
I don't think your microphone works in any way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm leaning into a microphone.
Put it right up to your mouth.
Okay, I don't.
Put it right up to your mouth.
Closer,
Greg. For a month now, we've been telling you the microphone's in the wrong place. You're not putting it in
right here.
Wow, look how much better it sounds.
Okay,
it's crazy.
I've been screaming into a mic,
Greg, for a month.
Ramshackle operation.
Mike is screaming.
Get better mics. Christ Almighty. Other than Mike Ryan, you got no working mics in here.
And Fuentes outside, too.
Nice.
I mean, well, not counting Mike. I meant in the room. I meant in the immediate room.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. Thank you. That kind of thing.
You should talk to your
wife. Got to say it a little quicker. That kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. Thank
you. Quick Come learner. On, amateur.
Juju, quick learner.
But he should not be allowed to say things like this. Honestly, like he's a good host and stuff, and he has passionate.
He shouldn't
about
be
the
allowed.
Jets,
you're
no,
taking away his freedom
no,
of
he
speech.
He should go to jail.
Yeah, I mean, at least an hour.
That's a dumb one.
You think he should be suspended?
Dumb one. That man has made a lot of money in his career, and that's just a very dumb thing to say.
I want to follow Juju's threat. He should go to jail for an hour.
Yeah,
at least, bro.
Like actual jail for 1 hour.
What kind of jail are we talking about here? Because I would love. Greenlit. Greenlit.
No pun intended.
We know it's white collar. Like, we know there's tennis courts.
Now, I don't know anything. Now, this is just my opinion, but the sauna in here is not quite hot enough.
I just want him walking down the corridor holding his sheets, please.
It's a literal island. I didn't know it was a real island.
Just to be clear, you guys think that Mike Greenberg, and I'm here for this, and in fact, you know what? I'm going to call for it publicly. I would pay a great amount of money for us to imprison Mike Greenberg for 1 hour,
1 hour.
For that take. I would pay $500,000 to imprison.
You know what? How about you do this? You give me the money. I'll go figure out what the schematics
Frame
are on
him
that.
For murder.
Right, and then we'll get back to you. I'll let you know.
It can't be murder. He's only got to go to prison for 1 hour.
One right. liquid hour.
Yeah. He knows better than anybody that he would be a vending machine for sex in prison. Oh, yeah. He knows better than anybody.
One, who amongst us?
Than anybody. Right. No, I, who amongst us, fair enough, but him more than most.
I mean, he does appear to be a mark.
Him more than most.
In an hour?
What, in an hour.
What if in an hour he comes out as like, the man in prison.
His hair he's just braids. Running it.
Tattoos. Yeah.
Takes out the
got a
biggest
razor blade
guy
in his
yard.
Mouth.
Takes out the Golic of the yard.
Like, he's just running the joint.
like Carlton when he spent the afternoon at MacArthur Park.
He's got guards bringing him phones.
Like Will Ferrell when he had the razor blade on his cheek.
They open the cell for him. He just closes the door. Bang, like, nope.
He would tell us that himself. If we were interviewing him right now, he would say, I would do very poorly in jail.
I think he'd be institutionalized real quick. Like Billy said, I can't leave. This is my life now. I don't even remember what the outside is.
I think
like.
He shows up and he picks a fight with the biggest, meanest, toughest dude in the yard.
He turns into a Muslim in jail.
Got a coupon.
See, what
on.
Happened was, brothers, it was a conspiracy. Aaron Rodgers hurt his Achilles.
It is a pretty hot take. Why is he doing that? Is he just does he believe
because
that?
Northwestern it's, lost to UConn? Can't be because that he is why
that.
He's doing it.
He's covered sports for too long for him to believe. I mean, I don't even know what he's doing. Is he being gratuitously? He's been covering sports for a long time.
I genuinely think he believes this because he followed Northwestern for two games. Dan, and he saw UConn look very good.
You know how it is. You get caught up in the air when you're on the mic. You say something you regret. You got to keep going with it. It is what it is. It happens to the best of us.
Is he trying to get his daughter or one of his daughter's cousins into UConn? Maybe with a nice take.
I want to get to March Sadness, but the Celtics last night lost in the only way that you can lose for us to have any questions about the Celtics in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. An Atlanta Hawks team that I don't think many people would find to be daunting or even capable of a 30-point comeback against anybody, let alone the best team.
But it's a regular season game. Who cares? Why does it matter? It only matters one team in the league. Like, honest to God, that game only matters because of the questions we're asking about that team.
Yeah, if that happened to the Nuggets, we wouldn't say anything. If it happened to
anybody
the
else.
Thunder, we wouldn't
anybody
say anything.
Anybody
else. For them, and this is where I go back to what I said last time I was on the show, which is, Joe Mazzulla, you can do all this cute shit, contesting people's jump shots and all that, when you're winning, the moment you're not, all of that, we start saying, well, I don't know if I can trust what I'm seeing. And that's the problem. But ultimately, they know that they aren't going to answer those questions in March or early April. Those answers come once the playoffs start.
Billy, we're going to get to March Sadness in a second, but they said they found for me Amin's commercial for his I don't know if you saw everything that happened here, Greg, but Amin had a very embarrassing viral moment on the internet, and he really owned it and turned it around in his favor.
I'm helping people.
With this bit of content, he also got a law degree in the last couple of weeks.
Every year, thousands of lowlights are taken out of context and disseminated across social media. It's called viral decontextualization, and it afflicts thousands of former NBA players and weekend warriors alike. Hi, I'm Amin El-Hassan, and I was once a victim of viral decontextualization. Let me help you fight back. If you or a loved one have suffered a viral video of a basketball play that is not representative of your playing ability, contact the law offices of Amin El-Hassan right now.
If you've suffered from a viral video of a basketball play that is not representative of your playing ability, call the law offices of Amin El-Hassan right now. He is 100% a real lawyer.
Don't let viral decontextualization ruin your life. Call Amin and get your reputation clean. Watch this. Pass me the rock.
Hey, ain't you that guy from the internet?
Yeah, but I'm not who my video said I am.
Please don't wait. Stop viral decontextualization. Call 1-800-OGBALL or visit www.townhorrendous.com and have Amin fight for you. Amin, what are you making me read?
There are 1,000 things I like about that.
That's
as
great.
As video, never
really
mind
good.
Audio. But Charlotte stole it from Amin with the way that she said lawyer and what she did at the end. Because Amin tried to steal that video. And the video is great, Amin. What they did on the video side, really funny. That felt like a real commercial.
Yeah, the tinkling piano was a maestro touch.
The Thief of Joy. The Thief of Joy is Comparison Dan. Everybody in that commercial involved, bravo. And to my brother, two words, ass off. Yeah. Bravo, bro.
Wow, that's the first time Juju's ever given me that award.
Really?
He always says I'm ass on anytime I'm doing any of these things.
First time? How many times have you failed to get
thousands.
Juju's? Thousands.
That's the first one?
The first ass off I've ever
gotten. You can't give him away.
What's your favorite part? You turning around to the camera at the beginning, like for no good reason?
Shout out to Antonio, man. That was his idea. He told me to just turn this way and then turn back from this.
You're welcome.
I really can't shake Muslim Greenie. just, as soon as it was mentioned with the glasses and all that.
Bean pie, my brother. I like the idea.
I didn't talk to anybody, and I don't know anything.
Muslim greenie in prison is what we've done.
And all this happens inside of 14 minutes.
Damien Woody landed on us.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.